Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I'm not sure if it was if it's the bourbon or the beyond.
Happy holidays, everybody. Patrick here. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to wish you and yours a very happy holiday season. From all of us here at Rockin' the Suburbs, thank you for listening this year, and we hope everybody out there has a safe and pleasant holiday. Today, we're presenting you with a little holiday gift from us to you. It's a podcast that was recorded earlier this year, sometime in the fall, and for a variety of reasons, too strange and numerous to go into here, it never quite found its place on the schedule, and that's a darn shame, and we wanted to correct that. And we wanted to bring it to you here on the last podcast before Christmas and just give it to you in all of its glory. What you're about to hear is a wrap-up of the 2022 Bourbon and Beyond Festival, which took place September 15th through 18th, 2022, in Louisville, Kentucky, at the Highland Festival grounds. And there was a group of Suburbs Pod community and listeners that were out there at the fest. And many, many thanks to Keith Jacobson for rounding everybody up. And we jumped on a Zoom call and began our conversation. And it just like a fishing lure being sent out in the lake, it just kept unspooling and unspooling and unspooling. And we had a lot of fun talking about the fest. And in addition to Keith Jacobson, Adam Coop, Billy McNeil, Mike Coley, and Joe Fleischer also joined the call. They were all in attendance at the festival and relate all their experiences and stories. And other than that, there's not really much to say, because just like a gift, it's all wrapped up and it's got a pretty bow on top and presented for you. And all you have to do is let your ears feast on it. So with that, I will wish everyone once again happy holidays from Rockin' the Suburbs. And I got the tape threaded up, queued up here. I'm going to hit play, and we are going to hear the story of Bourbon and Beyond 2022. Hey, everybody. It's Patrick Foster here. This is another edition of Rockin' the Suburbs. Thank you for tuning in. We thank everybody who listens either every day or every now and then. And tonight's a special night as we record this, because we have a panel of experts, and experts meaning they were at a festival called Bourbon and Beyond that I've been to myself, and it's so much fun. And I was there with many people, and two of them are on this call. And we're going to talk to you today about the 2022 version of Bourbon and Beyond. So I'm Patrick Foster, and we have, as I look around the virtual room here, we have Mike Coley. Hello, Mike.
How's it going?
Good. Billy McNeil, I was one of those people I was with the show at. How are you?
What's up? Hey. Doing great. Thanks.
Good.
Nice to be here.
And making his debut on Rockin' the Suburbs, folks, is Joe Fleischer, Death to False Metal. Joe, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And we also have the Coop. Adam, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's nice to see you, sir. And I also believe we have Keith Jacobson somewhere out there.
Hello. Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Keith, tell me a little bit about how this whole thing came together, and you know, give us the outline of what it was at Bourbon and Beyond 2022.
Well, Patrick, for me, it all started, I think, in early April when the lineup was released for Bourbon and Beyond.
Okay.
And I looked at it and thought, well, if I was to put together a festival, this would be the festival lineup that I would put together.
Wow.
For the most part.
Okay.
It had two of my favorite artists going, you know, right now, along with a lot of other artists that I like. The only thing that was missing was Wingtip Slope. and that would have made it the perfect festival.
Of course.
But
And of course, you speak about Greta Van Fleet as one of your all-time favorite
Greta Van. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about them later. That that was quite the spectacle. I don't know if it was the music, but the visuals with it. So
can't wait.
When the lineup came up, I think I put it out on Suburbs Facebook group and kind of said, "Hey, I think I'm going to this. You know, who wants to go?" And of course, Coop was already going because he lives in Louisville, the home of Bourbon and Beyond Fest. And I think not too long after that, Mike Coley said, "I'm going." And at somewhere down the road, I think Joe Fleischer said, "Hey, I'm going to be there too." And so we figured we had to have, you know, some sort of a meetup. So, so I guess that's really, you know, how it came together. It really was an incredible lineup. I think if you're a fan of the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast, which if you're listening, you're either a fan or somebody that's in this panel made you listen to the episode. But I think if you're a fan of the podcast that you would have really enjoyed this festival. And we're sorry that you didn't go there, but pay attention to next year's lineup when it comes out and maybe join us. So
can we label this officially, Keith, Suburbs Fest Kentucky?
Well, once Joe Fleischer, once we met up with him on day two of the festival, we had what I like to call a quorum. And we could officially entitle it Suburbs Fest Kentucky.
There it is. So, bam. It's in the books.
Yes. And before we get deeper into it, I just want to say a little bit about Adam and Nicole Coop. They couldn't have been worse hosts for us that attended the festival. No, I'm kidding. They were awesome hosts. They really, you know, made the weekend. I know for Mike and I, driving us around a lot in their minivan, which I've now ridden around their minivan quite a bit. I did last year at Suburbs Fest DC. So I know that minivan well, but no, they were great hosts. Were very gracious, showed us, around the city. And then of course, carted us around back and forth to the festival. I think Nicole's a little too shy and didn't want to, join us on here. So
yeah, no problem.
She's actually doing some Girl Scout duty stuff right now.
I can't believe she's still in the Girl Scouts.
Sorry. Girl Scout leader.
There you go.
Okay. Makes a lot more sense.
How many miles does that minivan have on it, Coop?
We've put quite a few miles on it. We've only had it about a year, and I think we put almost 30,000 miles.
Wow.
On it.
Wow.
I think half of those were this last weekend.
Hey, they can't be the case, Adam, because everything in Louisville is 20 minutes away. So
right.
It's only 20 minutes.
So, Billy, what was the highlight for you from the weekend?
Oh my gosh, man. I made notes. I made 3 pages of notes.
Oh, sweet.
Highlights and lowlights. But the best thing about the whole entire weekend is I got to hang out with Mike Coley.
Nice.
By myself, me and him.
Doobie Brothers, baby.
Monday, oh. Right?
Yeah.
Well, it started, you know, he bought me a drink and then we started talking. And then before you know it, I'm at the Marriott. I forgot what floor we were on. And he told me I had to go home.
Now I'm really worried about the minibar charges that might have happened in that room. It was on my credit card, and I left early, yeah. And I told Mike, you know, be careful with that. So
that girl at checkout, she wasn't happy that we didn't have enough money to pay it.
Mike, as a journalist, I'm going to give you a chance here to rebut any of the things that have just been said.
It was all true.
Every bit of.
You're on the record. So did you guys, was it 4 days or was it 3 days or what was the outline of the festival? I saw it, you know,
it went from
Thursday to Saturday?
Sunday.
Absolutely.
Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah,
okay.
Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what would you guys say was the main marquee attraction? If I'm looking at this, you know, who was the big name? Because I know when the year we were there, Billy and Coop, it was, you know, Robert Plant was up there and ZZ Top were up there. But who would you guys say was the number one marquee act?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought the most people in Saturday night. Saturday night was a huge crowd.
It was over 40,000 people. I mean, you couldn't move in the place.
That's amazing. And what was that show like?
Amazing.
Was it?
Yeah, awesome. It was incredible. That was my 11th time seeing Pearl Jam. So, yeah, it was a little short. You know, the festival, a festival set list is a little bit shorter than a normal show, but still was great. So,
it was my first time seeing Pearl Jam.
Wow,
and
mine as well.
Oh man, so great.
Yeah, he did everything you would want him to do. I mean, I think he played 10 songs off of the 10 album. I mean, he played it like a festival.
Yeah.
And then closed with Purple Rain cover. It's on YouTube. It's tremendous. Wow. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So they're now touring with Josh Klinghoffer, right? Who was with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's sort of the musical director for them, and he was the one that sang Purple Rain as it they closed out the fest or closed out the night. So.
Right. Right.
He also played with the Butthole Surfers, by the way.
Is that right?
In 2001. Yeah, look it up.
That's very cool. Yeah, I got to look it up, too. And also, Jack White was there, right?
Sure was. Yes,
Adam introduced me to Jack White. I'm sorry. He didn't introduce me. I introduced you to the Pixies. That's right.
You introduced me to the Pixies. So.
But he was tremendous. He did everything you would want. He did 6 or 7 White Stripes songs, a couple of Rockin' Tours, and even one from, Dead Weather.
Wow. That's cool. Very cool.
So I'm gonna step in and say that I'm the official Jack White aficionado on this Zoom call.
Yes, you are.
So this is my third time seeing Jack this year. We took the whole family in April to Nashville, got to see him there. And then in August, Dylan, my son and I, we went to Indianapolis to see him, just the two of us. And then actually Thursday night, Billy hooked us up with a ticket for a Thursday night ticket. Dylan got to see Jack White for the third time this year. Yeah.
That's amazing.
In the VIP area.
In the VIP, yeah. So,
VIP, there you go.
My son is now spoiled for festivals. But
how's his back doing, though? I mean, has it recovered from all that standing that he did?
Almost.
Hey, Coop, how many miles did I tell you I walked when I did the math?
25, almost 26 miles in 4 days.
I did the math on the previous 2 years. I haven't walked that many miles collectively in the last 2 years. So
is that just walking back and forth to stages and across the grounds and all that?
For me, it was Mike Cully's or his hotel room. But yeah,
we can walk from here, man. It's not that far.
It's only 20 minutes. It's a 20 minute walk, right?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Just cut across the highway right here.
I was gonna say that Jack was, man, he was having a lot of fun. A lot of fun up there, and it was a lot like the three shows. I mean, all three of the shows I've seen this year. Keith, I believe you saw Jack.
I saw him. I think the third night of his tour here in Grand Rapids. After he got married in Detroit during one of his concerts.
I don't know about you, Keith, but the set lists are different, but it's a similar style every show. It's probably like the same core 15 songs, and then he changes out, you know, 5 or 7.
I'd have to look at the set list to see, but I do think it was, you know, a little bit different, you know, a lot of the same, but still flavoring in some different tunes in there too.
Yeah, you're gonna hear a lot off the new album. Like Billy said, you're going to hear a handful. I think he played 7 White Stripes songs. So, but yeah, Jack was great.
We
But also, we haven't talked about who played before him on Thursday, Alanis Morissette.
She was great. She's still moving. Actually, I'll get to somebody who moves just about as much as her, but she moved around that stage about just the whole time she was up there singing.
And she played almost the entire Jagged Little Pill album.
Did she really? Wow.
I mean, I think there's 13 or 14 songs on that album, and she played at least 10 of them, if not all of them.
That's very cool.
She ended with Thank You for her second album, I think. But yeah, she did a phenomenal job.
I think Thursday really showed how well the schedule is just packed and very well curated. I think just on Thursday, we got there after lunch, but saw Shovels and Rope, Japanese Breakfast, yeah. The Revivalists, Father John Misty, and then Alanis and Jack. It was a tremendous afternoon.
The way that the festival is set up is really two main stages, and they're side by side. So, you know, most other festivals that I've been to before, you know, they're, you know, huge, multiple stages, and they have artists on at the same time. You always have that problem with conflicts. And the nice thing at Bourbon and Beyond was, again, it was just really the two stages. They'd have about 10 minutes in between the sets, so you could move from, you know, one to the other. So, you know, as far as getting bang for your bucks at a festival, I really think, you know, we got to see a ton of music, as Joe just told you, everybody that was that played just on that Thursday. So.
Yeah. And that was my experience too, Keith, when I was there. It was really well curated, really well set up, spaced out just the right way. And, you know, all the smaller stages in the back, you weren't really all that bothered by the main stage. You heard some of it, right? But you could still hear the bands. But I want to ask Joe now. One thing I'll say too is that Joe sent in a great idea, and of course, in Rockin' the Suburbs land, we aren't quite on it all the time. But he sent an idea to say, like, here's a guide to how to prepare yourself for festivals, right? And Joe, I totally want to do this. Next year we can edit this part out, but I think it's such a great idea. But as a experienced festival goer, what was your opinion on that whole stuff? Like, how was it set up, and how did you feel about transportation and water and, you know, all the things you need at a big festival?
It wasn't as much of an endurance event for me because I was only there on Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
But it was hot out there, but it was tremendously well run, and the thing with the two stages was there was also one PA, uh-huh. So no matter which side you were on, it sounded equally good, and that sound system was incredible.
Yes.
Every band to me sounded good, and I think between the crowd and how good the sound was, it really gave some extra energy to their performances. You could tell that people were having a lot of fun.
Did you catch any of the stuff on the outside stages or walk around?
You know, I think they do a good job of making it also a bourbon and to a lesser extent food event.
Right.
I think they get a lot of brands that are, you know, spending money there and making it a little more interesting. And thank goodness there were some tents put up by Jack Daniels and some other sponsors that gave some break from the heat. I think it was only 85 degrees, but full sun. There's not a lot of shade out there. So,
right.
So it was good to go, be able to go inside and, you know, stand in front of a fan every once in a while. But, but the other guys are better to tell the story about, you know, when you're at a festival for 4 days, it becomes almost like your job, you know.
Yep.
Like, go out to the fest, you know, eat, sleep, get up the next day and go rock.
Right. And hydrate the whole time if you can while drinking beer.
can I add one thing to that about the way the fest is set up is, you know, you have a wristband and you can activate it and you can use that to purchase, food or beverages or whatever. It kind of acts as a credit card. So
it's called invisible money.
Invisible money. It's like, yeah, free money. So on Thursday, we got there and I go up to the bar and I ordered a 20-ounce beer. And she gave me the beer and she said, here you go. Thanks. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. This is like that Amazon, you know, the Amazon store that you walk in and it kind of right. like you don't even need to check out. It There's just no checks cashiers. You out at the end. Yeah. I thought, wow, this technology's really gotten great. Only to then find out later from either Mike or Coop that no, you got a PIN you have to enter in and everything. And every time you go, you do have to do that. So apparently I got my first beer free. I don't think that they charged me for that one. So I won this weekend. So
nice. But what about the other 29 you bought, Patrick? That was too many. Mike Coley, what were your kind of overriding impressions? Was that the first time you were at Bourbon and Beyond?
Yes, first time down. As Keith mentioned earlier, when I saw that lineup, I kind of sworn off festivals, being the old guy that I am.
Right. Who loves ska music, but that's another story.
I saw that lineup. I had to go. And that festival was so well run from the getting into the gates, from actually the golf carts from the parking lot that Coop and Nicole
I think I rode one of those tickets
with the old timer. But yeah, I mean, it was so well run. The side by side stages is such a great idea, such an awesome idea, and I could have used a better beer selection.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it was sponsored by Budweiser, I think.
Okay.
So. Plus they ran out of the IPA like one of the days, and I kept bringing you a Budweiser. Is this all we got?
I'm yeah.
Like, hey man, I'm buying you a drink. Just drink.
That or Michelob Ultra, right?
But my takeaway from the whole weekend was the Hog Slop String Band. Those friggin' guys Absolutely. Were amazing. They were so fun.
Okay, when did they play?
They played 2 days. They played, nice. I think it was Thursday and Friday, I think they played.
That's right. I saw them on Friday.
I saw them first on Thursday afternoon. There wasn't a whole lot of people there yet. So it was cool. I got to get up close. I got some really cool pictures of the bass player, Pickle. His name is Pickle. plays a stand-up bass, and he's just super animated.
He better with that name, yeah.
And then I caught him a little bit. I didn't catch their whole set on Friday, but it was jam-packed inside that side tent for their set on Friday.
Hog Slop, all one word?
Yep, Hog Slop, String Band.
Wow, that's great. What a cool tip.
It's tremendous. And the... don't bring your kids to that show, because I did. And they're a little bit vulgar. Actually, a lot vulgar. Adam, you think I have a bad mouth? Those guys, they're it's Hog Slop mouth is what they have.
Did the boys pick up some new curse words?
Or? They knew them all already. There's not a lot to say.
All right, so I've held my tongue long enough. Who saw Greta Van Fleet, and what was it like?
Well, I think we all saw Greta Van Fleet, but we saw him from the other stage. So we got in position for Pearl Jam because they played before Pearl Jam. So we all kind of got in position for Pearl Jam to have a decent, you know, view.
Yep.
And so we saw them on the video screen. So
we saw more than we probably should have.
Yeah, absolutely. That was on my notes. It's a little too taunt in the front on that that romper that he was wearing.
I don't know, Patrick. Are we enabled that we could share our screens? So yes. can you do that?
Because don't need to see that again.
I want to flash that up. Well, no, I'm gonna flash this up so that you can see it. I hope. Okay. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
Unfortunately, I can see that. Yes,
I stared at it for an hour and a half. Right. I know what it looks like.
He's a right-sided man.
Yes. So, there you go. I'll stop sharing. So you can Thank open you your much. Eyes again.
Okay. I'll be right back.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Hey, Greta Van Fleet also, they did have to flash a warning up before their set because they had pyro techniques going on there.
You should show that picture of us. We flicked off the screen at first and then we realized, oh, that's not, we're not mad at that. Let's give it the metal sign. So
I don't think I have that picture. I think somebody else took that picture.
I'll have to share it on the something else. But yeah, that happened.
What did you think of that, Billy?
Greta Van Fleet. I absolutely love it. I think that lead singer, young kids, they have a tremendous amount of talent. I think the lead singer sounds like Geddy Lee a little bit, and the rest of the band. Everybody calls them a Led Zeppelin knockoff, but I mean, who can't deal with a little bit more Led Zeppelin in the world? So
they also don't like wearing shoes. A bunch of them didn't wear shoes during the set.
And the lead singer likes to bedazzle his face to match his outfit. Yeah.
I saw them a few years ago at Carolina Rebellion when they first came out. And I don't know if their stagecraft has improved, but you know, my impression of the first time was that they can play. I mean, they're tremendous musicians, but absolutely charisma-free on stage.
I think they've gotten a little bit better because I saw them probably around that same time in a smaller club, actually, here in Grand Rapids, because they're from Frankenmuth, Michigan. So they're kind of, I mean, they are a Michigan band. So they were around here a lot before that. And I would agree with Joe.
Never guessed that.
Yeah. Frankenmuth is famous for two things, Greta Van Fleet and chicken. So you can go, it's like a German town. You can go there and get chickens. So that, and that might have just stirred a memory for Adam. I don't know.
Well, that was probably me. I danced with the chicken.
Billy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Billy danced with the chicken.
So this is weird. If I'm reading it right, it was St. Vincent right before Greta Van Fleet. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that like?
I love it.
Well, talk about a flip-flop of charisma, right? I mean, St. Vincent was amazing, and then you roll into Greta Van Fleet, and it was more about the musicianship, where I think St. Vincent, she just puts on a fantastic show. Oh, man. She's amazing.
I think, you know, it's funny to go back to Thursday of who played was Father John Misty and then St. Vincent. And they both kind of have this almost like a character that they are. So
yeah,
I asked Coop, I think, and Mike, I was like, do you think that's an act for Father John Misty, or is he really kind of that way? And I think for Father John Misty, he's really that way. I think for St. Vincent, it's an act. I mean, I think, you know, she's a show person. So,
right.
Somewhat,
right.
You know,
right.
So, yeah.
When she had three backup singers,
right?
And they were all dressed, you know, in what would they call them? Fembot. They looked like Fembots up there. They were Austin Powers. Yeah.
Coop, tell them who played guitar for St. Vincent.
Jason Faulkner is her guitar player.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was slowly piecing it together.
Huh.
And I had everything. I had everything but his last name. Keith came up and said Faulkner, and I was like, "Yes, that's exactly who it is."
Goodbye to your seats. Goodbye, gnashing teeth.
That's one thing. If the organizers of Bourbon and Beyond are listening, can you improve the cell reception? Because it was pretty much non-existent. So as we tried to track each other down at times, it could be a little challenging. Or look up who the guitarist's name is, too.
Do you think it's just so many massive signals trying to be sent from one point to, like, overwhelm the network?
It could be, too. It's right next to the airport, basically. So maybe they can't bring in some of the extra towers. So,
but we only took with all the cell, you know, cloggage and everything. We only took down a couple planes, right? And they were only UPS. So
if you didn't get your package, we apologize. Yeah. So.
That's our bad.
I want to go back and ask Mike Coley. What was the act you were most excited about? Was it Pearl Jam?
kind of. I love Pearl Jam. I've seen them. That was my fifth time seeing them, so they weren't a huge priority for me. I did kind of make a list of who I was prioritizing for the weekend, and they were definitely on there because I love them. I've been on board with them forever, but Molly Tuttle, I wanted to see her.
Oh, right.
She was amazing.
She played on the bluegrass stage with a bluegrass band, and her set was fantastic. I really wanted to see Brandi Carlile. The women owned the weekend, I think. Brandi Carlile had a kick-ass set.
El King.
Courtney Barnett. El King. She was fantastic. So entertaining.
Jen Wigmore.
Oh, my God. Jen Wigmore. I fell in love with her.
Who is that? Tell me who that is.
She is a New Zealander, kind of alt-rocky, but a little bit of a pop sensibility to it with an occasional Amy Winehouse voice. Yeah, she has a little bit of Amy Winehouse in her voice. Really cool stuff.
You got some good pictures of her, Mike. Thank you for those.
You're welcome. Inspired by Coop, at least one of them.
Did anyone catch Courtney Barnett?
Yes, she was great.
Yes. Oh, man, she was great.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
She was like midday.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was really good.
Yeah, it was, I think she was Friday, right? Yeah, because it was Houndmouth, Charlie Crockett, Courtney Barnett, Lucas Nelson, Jason Isbell, Brandi Carlile, and then Kings of Leon. That was the Friday lineup.
Kings of Leon, did they play my favorite song, The Bucket? Please.
They did not. They didn't play. If you thought you had a favorite song, they did not play it.
Unless your favorite song is
Dog after that song.
Unless your favorite song is You Somebody.
Or Sex on Fire.
Oh, boy.
I stood up there for an hour and a half, five rows back, just hoping they would play something off their first two albums. I think they played maybe three off their first two albums.
Isn't that when you dance with the chicken? Wasn't it that night?
Yeah, that was a little rough.
What happened with the chicken dance? All right, let's get it out there, folks.
Oh, there was a guy that was running around in a chicken costume, and he had like a totem stick, and then he would like, he was, you know, very energetic, obviously probably on some sort of nothing or something beyond alcohol.
And he was stimulant. Yeah.
A stimulant beyond alcohol. And he would run up to you and hand you the totem stick. And his expectation is that you would dance. So, I danced with the chicken, and then I helped the chicken get more people. I think he was capturing their souls or something. I don't really know what his MO was. I saw him the next day and out without a chicken costume, and he's doing the same thing. I'm like, you're missing it, man. You got to bring the chicken back. I'm sure you sweat through that suit a couple of times. Over.
Can't do it without the suit.
Now you're just like a weirdo that's trying to dance and hand somebody a stick. But everybody was good. That was the night we got to ride the shuttle to the car, which I was really confused about. And the guys can tell you that story. We probably not on the podcast, but they'll tell it to you later.
Oh no, we'll tell it on the podcast. Billy sits down next to the next to the driver and says, "Hey, old timer." and then as we're driving, there's an empty
Billy.
There's an empty seat. I think
Billy wasn't wrong.
Yeah, that's true. But maybe things we shouldn't say, Billy, next time. So, I think there was an empty seat on our golf cart. So as we're driving by, Billy kept trying to sell a spot on our golf cart for $5. So, and there might have been some other things asked. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's what we'll talk about later. I can't remember. Yeah. Adam had to remind me the next day. I was like, "Hey, man, I think we had a good time on that ride to your car. Can you tell me what I said to everybody?" There's definitely bourbon at that festival.
And I just love, Billy, I love your reaction. You're like, "I said that? I'm hilarious."
Yeah. It's like two different personas, Sober Billy and having too much fun, Billy.
Patrick, you've seen both Sober and Drunk Billy. So
yes, I have, and I love them both, actually.
Thumbs up.
I'm caught in the middle, yeah. It's beautiful. What would you guys say overall was your favorite moment?
Oh, geez. I was really looking forward to seeing Brandi Carlile play, and she did not disappoint. And at that point in the day, I had quite a bit of bourbon in me. And I went back and looked at my pictures that I was taking, and most of them are blurry because I was that guy that was falling into the people behind me for most of her set. But Brandi Carlile, she did a back-to-back cover of Space Oddity and Creep, Radiohead's Creep.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really mind-blowing.
I was wearing my Major Tom shirt. I have a t-shirt that says Major Tom, and all of a sudden this song came out. I thought, wow, Brandi, thank you. Thanks.
Look at me. I'm the coolest guy here.
Yeah. Somebody told me Creep was one of the most covered songs in the last 20 years. It's been covered by more people. I thought that was very interesting. So that's
cool. Chappelle did it with Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see, Coop, what do you think? What was your one moment of the weekend?
Well, that obviously, Jack White. But I was really, really looking forward to seeing Pearl Jam and Brandi Carlile, and neither one of them disappointed. Brandi Carlile, it's official. She is my favorite female vocalist. She's absolutely amazing. How anybody can listen to The Story and not cry is beyond me.
All of these lines across my face tell you the story. So many stories of where I've been, and now I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you've got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. I climbed across the mountain tops, swam all across the ocean blue, across all the lands and I broke all rules, and baby I broke them all for you, all because even when I was flat broke, you made me feel like a
Brandi Carlile just blew me away. And actually, I had a friend at work who was at Bourbon and Beyond this weekend, and he said, "Why did Kings of Leon go on after Brandi Carlile? It should have been
yeah.
I think she was incredible. But you know, Pearl Jam as well. Keith, you mentioned the length of the set. Nicole had a similar complaint because they actually went on a little bit. They were supposed to play for 2 hours, and they went on a little bit late, and they had an
interruption too.
Stopped the show twice because people needing medical assistance. So we only got about an hour and a half of music. He really did. He really did handle that and then they stopped the song.
But they stopped the song. Did you see what happened when it was clear and he was ready to go? Right back into it.
Right back into that part that they stopped at.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that they had the cognition to get right back into the same spot. It blew my mind. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I stepped over your stuff.
No, totally fine. Great observation. Joe Fleischer, what about you? What was your moment of the weekend?
I really thought the Brandi Carlile set was extra special. I think she was really... she was really inspired by the crowd, and I think it was tremendous. I haven't seen her before, and I think, you know, one of the reasons is, you know, it made my wife so happy, her and Japanese breakfast. So those were great moments.
Fantastic. I saw Japanese breakfast not long ago at Wolf Trap here in outside the nation capital. It was fantastic. So, all right, Billy, what about you? What was your moment of the weekend?
All right, so I know this is a music podcast, but I got to meet some incredible people. I mean, Keith and Mike are just awesome to hang out with, and I enjoyed the company. And I had a few perks that I was able to offer for them, but their presence was worth more than it would have cost me for any of those things. So I really enjoy hanging out with them and making new friends, and But as far as music was concerned, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the entire weekend as a whole. I know that's really lame to say. There was a lot of high points and not too many low points. I think my favorite, I'm a big Houndmouth fan. I love everything they do. We got there late. We missed two songs, or we got to catch two songs. I looked at their set list. They didn't play anything from their concept album, Golden Age, which I think is tremendous and would be great festival fuel. I got some notes here. Let me just look at them. Oh, Marcus King. I think he killed it. He did a Voodoo Child cover with, of Jimmy, and that was awesome. And it's just overall, you get to experience new bands that you've never heard before and would never give a chance. And then ultimately, it's just the whole vibe of a festival, right? You get to, to learn new stuff and or meet new people, get new music, and then the things that you know that you're going to experience. I was just happy to be there. So, yeah, awesome. It was a great weekend all around, and I got one more coming up.
Yeah, Coop, let's go to you. You were going to say something.
So, yeah, Patrick, I want to – Billy's underselling it here, okay? So
he's being modest.
I know a couple of the guys here on the podcast may know I had COVID 3 weeks ago, and there was a really good chance we weren't going to make it to Bourbon and Beyond. And Billy was able to hook Nicole and me up with VIP passes. And we were able to get Mike Coley into a VIP pass Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Billy's being quite modest. I know he made the weekend for at least three of us. Right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely.
Who was that? Old-timer? Old-timer was one of those?
But, the I love spicy pie, lady.
Well, when you got there on Saturday, Adam, and you texted him asking where I was, and you said, meet me at the VIP tent, and you said, happy birthday, buddy. Oh. Handed me that bracelet and gave me a big hug. That made my weekend right there.
Oh, that's beautiful, Mike. That's beautiful.
Can I tell you, and real quick, you know, Patrick, feel free to cut this out, but I'm glad I get a chance to talk about this. So, Mike, I don't want to talk out of turn.
This is my head. But this is my highlight, too. I didn't want to mention it, but go ahead. This is the best thing. Go ahead. Sorry to step
All right. So I'm gonna paraphrase some stuff here. But we get up into VIP on Saturday, and it was during Jason Isbell?
It was during.
I think it was during.
A couple songs
in. It was during Jason Isbell. And Mike tells me a story about how it's his story to tell, but it's a really emotional story about how this is the first time he's ever seen Jason Isbell. And I look at Mike like, well, then why are you talking to me? And I point at Jason Isbell. Billy's Billy's standing next to me, and I point to Jason Isbell, and Mike Coley becomes one with the crowd.
What?
Disappears.
And I swear to God, 3 hours later, sitting at a table. Yeah, at least 3 hours later, I'm sitting at a table watching Kings of Leon, and Mike Coley walks up with a handful of nachos going, "What's up, guys?"
And then a crucifix fell off the wall.
Man. But, yeah, it was, that was, but.
I don't remember a whole lot of that.
He comes in again, no, it's Mike Coley. Yeah.
But Patrick, to be honest with you, that was my highlight of the weekend, that I was able to help a friend be able to see Jason Isbell for the first time.
That's beautiful, man. It really is. If I could stop laughing about that story, I would say something, but I can't.
But Billy, how fast did he just disappear into the crowd?
Oh, it was. I turned around and I was like, "Seconds? Did we just give somebody a pass? Don't tell me you went to sell that shit in general population. Sorry if I cursed.
See you guys in 2 days."
He's like, "You went to go get drinking money. He's going to hawk that in general pop."
All right, Mike, this is your chance. Where were you during those 2 hours?
So, all right, I think this is the story I told Coop. So my buddy that passed away last year, he got me into Jason Isbell. Huge Jason Isbell fan. And I've kept missing him every time he came around my area. So I finally got to see him, and I was with my buddy watching Jason Isbell, and I was telling Coop that story, and he's like, "Get the hell out of here. Go watch Jason Isbell." So I did. So I moved up front, a little closer to the stage, and I just took it all in, because I love Jason Isbell's songwriting, and my buddy loved Jason Isbell's songwriting, and he's who got me into Jason Isbell. And I finally got to see him this past weekend, thanks to Billy and Coop hooking me up.
That's beautiful. That is, Mike. Did you feel like your friend was right there with you?
I did. He's the one that got me into photography, and I was feeling very naked going around the whole weekend without a camera around my neck. So the other thing about getting these VIP bracelets was being able to use my phone a little bit better to get better pictures than I would have if I was in the general admission area. And I got some cool pictures. I was pretty happy with what I got. But, yeah, my buddy Brian was with me that day.
That's beautiful. That really is. That's a lovely story. And I will say, just for the record, and I won't edit this out, Mike Coley made Wingtip Sloat look good. That's how good of a photographer this guy is. So, Keith, what was your moment of the weekend?
Well, you know, there are many. And, I mean, these guys have already said, I love Pearl Jam. I love Jason Isbell. You know, I mean, they're two of my favorite artists. So they were great. But there's two things that kind of stood out for me besides them. One was St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Yes.
They're a band that I've wanted to see for a long time, because I've heard, I mean, I like their albums, but I heard they put on a tremendous live show. Holy cow. So I said Alanis earlier, you know, she was moving around her whole set. Well, Paul Janeway, who's the front man for St. Paul and the Broken Bones, he was moving just about as much as Alanis did, and just a real showman, and was a lot of fun. He took his shoes off and was throwing them around, pounding them around on the stage. At some point, he crawled underneath the riser that the drum set was on and was singing underneath there. I mean, he was just all over the place.
You got your limit.
they come to town, I highly recommend checking them out. And then Neil Finn and Liam Finn, who's his son. Yep. So Crowded House was supposed to play. I think they're stuck in New Zealand, but I think maybe Neil and Liam live here. And so it was sort of a weird set because this was in the afternoon. It was after Cold War Kids and just before St. Vincent. And here you have, you know, the two of them, and it's a very mellow set, but it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of banter between the two of them, being father son, which was kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know, for
good.
That.
Yeah.
They did a lot of course, a lot of Crowded House, a lot of Split Ends. And then, you know, I noticed early on in the set, Eddie Vedder's wife was up on the side of the stage. And I also noticed there were three mics set up on stage, and of course, only the two Finn, Neil and Liam. So I know they're friends with Eddie Vedder. So I figured that Eddie was going to come out, and sure enough, he came out and did two songs with them at the end of the set. So
that's cool.
It was very cool, you know, to be there, you know, for that. Again, there are a lot of other great things. I mean, the Drive-By Truckers were really good. Too short of a set. I mean, they were scheduled for 40 minutes. They were having some sort of sound trouble at the beginning, so they really only played maybe 35 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You know, so but that was great to see them. And I think, you know, everybody, you know, that we've mentioned already, I think we're all amazing. Oh, and Charlie Crockett, I really enjoyed him. I saw him this summer on Willie Nelson's festival, and he is like the old school country and just really great stuff. So
yeah,
I mean, it was a great
weekend.
I
really enjoyed his set.
Yeah. Overall, it was a great weekend. I am going to say I was planning on going to the fourth day on Sunday, but my mind on Saturday and my body was starting to tell me that you can't do a fourth day. So I decided, and I'd been gone for almost 2 weeks because I had driven my son out to the West Coast to Oregon. We did a cross country road trip, spent some time in LA for work. So I was just done. So I said, I got to go home, guys. So I rented a car from Louisville and drove back home. But I would have loved to be there on that fourth day. I do like Yola a lot. I like Chris Stapleton.
It was great.
Who closed it out. So. Sadly, I missed that, but it was one of the smartest decisions I made this weekend, though.
Thank you, Keith, very much. Yeah.
Like I was telling Mike and Billy that the Sunday of a 4-day music festival can sometimes feel like a hostage situation. Right. You know, you're just
like Joe said, full time job. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much fun, but it's an endurance race.
Right.
And we figured it up. Billy and I figured it up today. Today or this Bourbon and Beyond was our seventh music festival together.
Yep. Wow. Seventh Bourbon and Beyond or seventh total?
Seventh total.
Okay.
We've done four Four Castles, two Bourbon and Beyonds, and one Louder Than Life.
Wow.
This weekend will be number 8.
Yeah, I do want to point out that Billy and Adam and Nicole are going to another 4-day festival this weekend, Louder Than Life.
Wow.
So that is, for those doing the math at home, that is 8 days of music in 11 days.
Wow.
Just to give myself a little bit more credit, I've worked literally every day before I went to the festival in the next morning. And I'm going to do that again for the next 4 days, starting today.
That is very, very impressive.
I've been sleeping for 12 hours a night the last 3 nights. She's like, you're going to bed at, it's 6:30. You're going to bed? I'm like, yeah, got to get ready.
What would you guys say was the average amount of sleep you got each night during festival?
Actually, it wasn't that bad because,
really?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. You guys had it good.
I did bunk with Mike Coley, and he does.
Thank you, Keith.
He does snore. He does snore, so I did have some sleep interrupted. But I would just put my AirPods in and play some, rain noises to drown that up. No, I'd say we slept all right. I think because the festival ended every night by 10:30, 11, and
yeah,
we would be back. It's only 20 minutes, so we're back to the hotel by the latest 11:20.
Right.
It's only 20 minutes.
It's 20 minutes anywhere in Louisville. So
no way it's 21.
So and then, you know, we would sleep. So, you know, Mike Coley and I, though, we were staying at the Marriott downtown, and also staying with us there was the Florida State football team, who was in town to play the Cardinals.
Wow.
And they had a big come from behind victory. So I was a little worried about our sleep on Friday night after that game, because those hooligans from FSU would be running around the hotel. But it was okay. It didn't interrupt. But they screwed up something with the cable. We couldn't get ESPN on our TV anymore after that. So.
None of this would ever happen at the Gold House. I'm the director there at that hotel. And I'm sorry that you experienced that there, but next time you're in Louisville, make sure you visit the Gold House.
Billy, do you accept Marriott points? Or do you accept Hoopmo's for payment? Because I have a bunch accumulated.
So do I, by the way. I have like a week's stay.
If you guys need a room, obviously you don't have to use any points. I got you. But your listeners, just stay at the Gold House. That's the best way to.
All right.
The best place to stay in downtown Louisville.
Sweet. And that's a great place, downtown Louisville, man. That is the place to stay if you're going to the festival. Billy, any closing thoughts? I mean, Louisville Absolutely. Continues to be like a great hub for music. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I had two other things to close out on. I thought I would say I'm sorry I missed, but I think I had a sorry I missed category because I was working and then trying to deal with a 1,300 room hotel and then get to the festival and then the next day kind of knock it out again. But other than that, I thought we should close on who would everybody like to see next year. The date's already posted. They're going to
like
come
that.
Up with. But that's my closing thoughts. I made great friends. I mean, I already said that, but we had a great time.
Yeah.
And
let's start with you. Keith, who would you like to see next year?
I'd like to see some Louisville boys show up. You know?
Okay.
I mean, My Morning Jacket, they should show up and represent. I mean, it's a couple of years running now, so I'd like to see them on the forefront. Adam would appreciate this. White Reaper should show up and show some Louisville love. And then I'll just run through these really quick. I think Billy Strings could headline easily and sell that place out and make it a not quite a Pearl Jam night, but pretty close. And then these are just my favorites that I just like to see all the time. I've never seen Goose. I would like to see Goose. Black Crowes, they've been to Louisville a couple times, but it's been quite a few years. Actually, they swore off. That's an old story. We can tell a hotel story sometime. Black Crowes swore off they would never come to Louisville again, but they've been here like six times before. But six times after that, Avid Brothers, Black Keys, Willie Nelson, Rainbow Kitten Surprise.
Wow.
That's my roundup.
Willie Nelson's never been to Bourbon and Beyond. That sounds like someone that should be there. Let's get him there if we can get him. Yeah.
I saw Willie Nelson and okay, this is going to blow your mind. I saw Willie Nelson in 1994 Farm Aid in Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. Of course he was at Farm Aid, but that's where I saw him last.
Was it Dave Matthews at that Farm Aid?
Dave Matthews, Hootie and Blowfish, Super Suckers, Neil Young, John Cougar Mellencamp. That's all I can remember.
I think that's the one where Schneider was on mushrooms. He's got a great story about that, actually. That's the same one, I think.
I have to hear that. No, Nicole, I'd love to hear Nicole was at that one too, Billy.
I would really like to see Sturgill. I know he's had some vocal issues this year. I think he would fit really well in that lineup. And Larkin Poe.
Oh.
Larkin Poe, I've seen them a couple times. They played at the Syracuse Blues Fest a couple years ago, and they're fantastic.
So they could play on one of the outer stages, or do you think the main stage?
I think they could play early or midday on one of the main stages.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Joe Fleischer, anybody you want to see next year?
I think the Avid Brothers would be a great fit for that event. And as another closing thought, I wanted to thank you, Patrick, for creating this community that I can drive across four states and run into people who are familiar and welcoming and it was super nice.
That's amazing.
Hey, Patrick, I'm not trying to brag here, but any listeners out there, if you ever come to Louisville and need anything, please reach out to me.
It's not a lie, folks.
Mike,
if you need an Aqua Jones CD, you will get one.
Where
from
did
Adam.
You get that?
I got one of those.
I think I have one of those.
I have one.
I didn't
if anybody
bring it with
needs
me.
An Aqua Jones CD, I still have like 150 in the basement. So just let me know. But but for real, you know, Joe, like, for instance, Joe was asking about breakfast places, and so we gave him some suggestions.
Nice.
And yeah, it can be as simple as where to eat, or let's go do dinner. Like we did, Mike came in Wednesday night and we did dinner with him. So
I do want to point out too, you took us CD shopping, it's not CD shopping. We went record shopping. That used to be my favorite hobby, was CD shopping. I forgot it's morphed into records behind me. But we went to two stores. I don't remember the name of the first one.
Better Days Records.
Better Days Records.
Better Days.
And then we went to Guest Room Records, which is an awesome, awesome, awesome record store. Coop introduced me to Travis, who's the owner, and his wife. And I was picking Travis's brain about some business things. And it's an amazing record store, too. Unfortunately, they had a first pressing of Pearl Jam's Live on 10 Legs that I couldn't let go. So I spent that. And unfortunately, my wristband didn't work there, you know, to charge it on there. So I actually had to pay
money. That's not fair. Real money.
I was very excited to see
the invisible money.
Yeah. Keith, I told you that album's not going to last the weekend. And you said, I know. You knew that was going home with you.
And neither is my money. It's not going to last me the weekend.
No, it is not. Anybody else here? Thoughts? Yeah,
go ahead. I've got a couple artists that, if the organizers are listening, that I would like to see next year. So early in the day, I'd like to see Neil Francis. I think he would blow the place up there. Barty Strange, I think, would be awesome him there early in the day. The Beths, I think, would be, I mean, you know, anybody on this podcast, but I mean, I think they would be an incredible act to have there. And then as a couple headliners that I'm thinking, Wilco would be great. Dawes would be great.
Dawes would be great.
And Neil Young. I would love to see, like, Neil Young in that Pearl Jam role, maybe. So and Promise of the Real is his backing band, and they're right now usually when he's touring, and they played this year, so they know how it goes. So I think that's who I'd like to see next year, and maybe Beatles, if the Beatles could get back together.
Yeah,
that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
I'd love the
Actually, we made jokes about Greta Van Fleet that all that they're missing is Jason Bonham, and then it would be like a Led Zeppelin reunion.
They might as well go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd like to see Rush and Led Zeppelin as well. But that should have put it on my list. And Queen
with Adam Lambert?
No, with Freddie Mercury.
Robert Plant. Yeah.
He can borrow the outfit from the Greta Van Fleet.
No shit. No stuff.
Oh, one more artist I would like to see there so that Scott Parks comes, Guided by Voices.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be excellent. Yeah. Okay, Keith, this has been a lot of fun, man. Are we still recording? Am I still talking?
Let's talk about Louder Than Life.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Let's talk about Louder Than Life.
Yeah, I'll pull it up here that way you can remember who's going to be there. I know I'm excited about it, but what do we got Thursday?
So this
night,
is
Adam?
Another festival that occurs the next weekend after Bourbon and Beyond,
the
right?
The beauty of it is that they leave up most of the infrastructure from the one sense. Fest. So right. then,
yeah.
So check this out. So Thursday night, the big ones are Hailstorm, Evanance, Essence Ministry, Bring Me the Horizon. But to close out Thursday night, Tenacious D and Nine Inch Nails.
Whoa, that's big, man.
Yeah, so we've seen Nine Inch Nails is probably Nicole's favorite band. So this is, I think, the third or fourth time seeing them. R.E.M., Nine Inch Nails, and U2. Yeah, it's a little all over the place. But and I've been wanting to see Tenacious D forever because I was
real quick sidebar.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Yep.
I saw Tenacious D in 1999. They opened up for Kid Rock. I bought a ticket to see Kid Rock because Tenacious D was the opener. And my MO was to get to Freedom Hall, which is the old arena in Louisville. I'm going to see Tenacious D, and I'm out for Kid Rock. And then I stayed for two or three songs of Kid Rock, and I stayed the, I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to go. And he captivated me. I don't know what it was. He did a remember his little sidekick that was really small, Joe C. It was right when he died. He did like his tribute, and these big banners came from the roof or the rafters and had this like portrait or whatever of him. And he is an amazing, amazing musician. He can play every instrument. And that was 20 years ago. But I stayed for the whole thing, and I was blown away. I know there's not a lot of Kid Rock fans on your podcast or even in this room, but I'm so glad I saw Tenacious D 20 years ago. I'm glad to see him again on tomorrow.
And I don't honestly know, pardon me, about those Kid Rock fans. There could be some out there. I don't know.
Yeah, there could be.
I mean, there's three or four. They're mostly in Kentucky, and then they'll come out of the woodwork for this.
We disowned him in Michigan, and we sent him down to Nashville. He moved from Detroit down to Nashville. Yeah. So they can have him.
Well, on the route, he on I-65, he stopped by and did a show. So, but Tenacious D opened for him. That was my claim to have to be exposed to Kid Rock, but I hung out the whole time. And I was not old enough to drink yet, so I did it sober. And then, Adam, what do we have on Friday?
Yeah, Friday's all over the place, and I'm really only going for two artists, and they're 6 hours apart.
Whoa!
I really want to see Amigo the Devil at 3:30.
Oh, I'm not gonna get there early enough. Okay.
I guarantee you that's gonna be the one banjo band we hear this weekend.
I didn't realize Amigo was on that bill.
It's a really odd fit, but I'm so looking forward to that. But also later in the day is In This Moment, Helmet, yep. Mastodon, Lamb of God,
Mastodon, Clutch and Guar. Yes,
Clutch and Guar. I'm there to see Clutch, Guar, and then
Butch Rules,
and then
Slipknot, and then
Saturday's lineup is going to cause Patrick to get in his car and drive to Louisville immediately after this recording.
Saturday is the best day.
Are you ready for it?
The equivalent of Bourbon and Beyond Saturday. This thing is absolutely killer. Go ahead, Adam.
Jerry Cantrell, Chevelle, Alice Cooper.
What?
Theory of a Dead Man, Rob Zombie, and Kiss. What? And Kiss. Yeah.
We got Alice Cooper, Rob Zombie, and Kiss as the headliner, back to back to back, with Chevelle.
I played pool with the guys in Chevelle before. So,
oh, really?
Their brother-in-law was somebody that I worked with years ago, and their brothers, although I think one of the brothers dropped out of the band and maybe a brother-in-law joined the band now, but they're horrible pool players.
Did you guys play for money?
Of course.
That's why I worked merch tents for Rob Zombie, Chevelle, and what's the other one? Oh, Slipknot. Those are the three merch tents I've
ran. Slipknot seems like a good merch tent. What kind of merch did Slipknot have?
It was actually an autograph. Oh, I worked the merch tent, and then we had to do an autograph. But some of their helmets are so spiky, like you can't get close without losing. I don't think we had an HMO back then, but a workers' comp. And then Sunday, what we got?
Sunday. So first of all, what time do you get off work on Sunday? That's the real question.
Sunday, I'm getting there early because we got Bad Religion. And Jelly Roll, which I really want to see. You've seen that guy?
Okay, so no.
Go ahead.
At 12:50, Radkey is playing, and fans of this podcast will know Radkey. So they're playing at 12:50. The reason I asked, Billy, is because I know you like this band, and I've never seen them. The Joy Formidable plays at 2:40.
Oh, that's right.
I'm just going to have to walk out the door.
We have 600 checkouts that day, so they'll figure it out. Go ahead.
Good Lord.
Billy, your hotel, don't you just have self-checkout? Well, I mean, what do you have to do? Come on. Isn't there like an app that you can just check out from?
I just have to be there with a suit on and be like, the hell out of here. I got a show to go to. Oh, I know it's Sunday. I can't be there. I got, this is not good pod. I have field day on Sunday. I have to be there. I'm in the dunk tank. It's a whole thing. There's a dunk your favorite manager.
You won't be there Sunday.
You know me, I will be there Sunday. but I won't be there early. So I'm going to miss a couple things that you said. I totally forgot about all that.
So the Struts, real life the Struts, stuff. The Struts play at 3:25.
Ugh, it's going to be hard. That's what she said. I'm going to be there late.
You said Jelly Roll there at 4:10.
Yeah.
Pretty Reckless at 5.
This is compelling podcast listening to go through the hour-by-hour schedule of Adam and Billy's.
and Sunday, Sunday night, Incubus, Bad Religion, Alice in Chains, Action Bronson, and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Did you say Incubus too? I'm looking at
Incubus.
Yeah,
Incubus.
It's all hosted by Jose Metal Ambassador Mangan. I don't know who he is, but it's hosted by. That's what it says.
He's on Liquid Metal on SiriusXM.
Joe Fleischer, how much do you plan the sets you're going to see, and you know how much time it takes you to get to those sets?
Yeah, there's a little bit of planning. I plan pretty carefully about what I'm going to see, and on that Thursday and Friday, it was a little bit influenced by how hot it was during the afternoon. So trying to get there later in the day, just so it wasn't, you know, under the blazing sun for too long. But you know, with that lineup, and there were bands I'd never seen before that I really enjoyed. But yeah, with that lineup, you can't miss. I mean, if you see four or five great bands in a day, that's as well as you can do.
And is that what you always do, Joe? Do you like, you know, get the lineup as soon as possible and kind of plan which ones you want to see and kind of weigh that value, you know, with the price of the ticket, you know, kind of.
Usually my strategy is when there's different stages, my strategy is to say, you know, I want to see this band and I want to be up front. So I'll go to that stage an hour before they start, grab onto the rail and be ready when they come up.
That's very cool. Yeah. And do you have like a number of bands that, you know, at a certain festival would be like, well, there's at least five bands I want to see, so that's worthwhile to sort of pay it?
Yeah, it's probably something like that number. And it's also surprising at these things that, you know, you do reach a level of festival fatigue if you've had a long day.
Right.
You know, I appreciate Kings of Leon, but after driving, 500 miles the day before and being in the heat, I was done by the time they came up, and that can happen.
I do want to point out the dates are out there for Bourbon and Beyond 2023. I'm staring at them. It's September 14th through the 17th. And tickets are available now. Don't know who the lineup is until April, but if you want to, you know, roll the dice, I'd say it's a pretty safe bet. Oh, and they have a layaway. I just noticed they have a layaway plan. If you want to put your tickets on layaway,
$10 down.
Since Kmart closed, you can no longer go to Kmart and do your layaway there, but you can do it at Bourbon and Beyond.
One more thing I was going to say. I know, Patrick, but I mean,
this is now a month of episodes.
Nice. Bourbon and Beyond month. So you get exposed to bands that you normally wouldn't listen to on a daily or weekly basis. Like the Revivalists, like the Cold War Kids, right? Bands that you might appreciate, but you don't listen to regularly. But man, they are a fun festival band. That's one thing about a festival. I think one of the first times I talked to you guys about Forecastle, it's like, just get out there, get there early and go see what's out there.
And if you don't just keep walking to the next 10. I mean, there's another band playing in 10 minutes.
And that's the thing in Louisville. It's only 20 minutes to get there. So, I'm used to going to festivals in Chicago and, you know, it takes about an hour and a half to get to downtown Chicago and get to the fest and get back at night. So that's the beauty of the 20 minutes. Well,
Keith, the other thing is it's in Chicago. I'm sure it's 45 minutes from one stage to the next stage. Adam, you can attest to this, and Mike probably can too. Stage is 20 minutes. I mean, everything in Louisville is 20 minutes.
Everything in Louisville is 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. One more request I have for the organizers is in the VIP area next year. Right now, like in front of the stages, it's all gravel or cement there. I think it would be really nice if they put down really plush carpet. So, or maybe like some anti-stress mats.
Ergonomic. That is,
there were a lot of business propositions, mostly proposed by Coop over the weekend. And that's one thing I think I'm going to market anti-stress mat that you can bring along to festivals with you, like that's just a personal one that you would just put, you know, for your feet on. I think it would be the smart, because I made poor footwear decisions last week and my back hurt.
I bought a new pair of sneakers today.
Yeah.
Well, L. King was trying to tell you guys to wear your fuzzy slippers, and I guess apparently you didn't.
You know, on the first day, I don't know, Mike, if you remember, as we saw a gal wearing like go-go boots, and like, that is some bad footwear decisions. Yeah, you're gonna regret that. This was you know, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the first day of the festival. We're like, you're going to come to regret that. So
I wore my go-go boots 2019 Thursday, and you should see the cankers on my feet. They were, I think they're still there.
But that was a good look for you, Billy.
I know it was.
The other thing, a pro tip, if you're going to attend next year, the VIP section, you know, it is blazing hot in the festival grounds, but the huge stages that they have there and where they are, they block the sun about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon. It blocks the sun. And so the VIP section is probably 10 to 15 degrees cooler than in the general admission section.
Cooler as in, is that we're cooler?
So put those tickets on layaway now if you want for VIP. So
I mean, it's a great Christmas gift. And if you put it on layaway now, you can have it by next April. Before you know who the bands are, just $5 a day. That's all you need.
And Keith, what about the bathrooms in the VIP area?
Oh, the bathrooms, they're air conditioned. I mean, they were like downright Arctic when you went in there. I need a sweater to take a leak. So,
you should have seen the Karen I turned into when I walked into one that wasn't air conditioned.
Oh, I was in that one too.
I walked out and I said, "What the hell am I paying for? This VIP gives me access to an air-conditioned bathroom. Somebody needs to go-kart me to the Crown Plaza behind this place, because I'm peeing in a conditioned air or bathroom." Sorry.
It was a little scary in the VIP. I know we talked about during Pearl Jam, there were a couple medical situations, but Mike and I were watching Neil and Liam Finn, and like 10 feet away from us, this woman just collapsed right there in front of us. You know, I mean, there are a few people in between. It wasn't right in front of us. So
Her eyes rolled back into her head.
It was very frightening. And then, you know, so everybody's kind of asking for, you know, medical help to come in, and they did come in. She stood right up though. I don't know. So if they had the anti-stress or zero stress mats, that would not happen. So just make sure we get those in.
And that would help. But you know what? And all joking aside, that's the same impression that I got when I met Mike. So when I came face to face and had to see him, I mean, I hope she's okay, but
she was fine.
Yeah. So, Patrick, we've started a love affair between Billy and Mike. It's so cute. I love it. You're not a privy to some of the text change we're on.
Adam, should we reveal the two business opportunities that I've become an angel investor? These were business ideas of yours that I'm now an angel investor. Should we reveal those?
Why not?
Sure. The first one is just a pun. I love puns. So we created Boober. The official ride share app of Bourbon and Beyond. Basically Uber, but with beautiful women drivers.
I think it started off as being topless, and we decided that probably wasn't legal.
I think it was more of the aerodynamics and whatever. But
I think the other idea is one that could really take off. So
which one was that? The record?
Gatefold Records.
Gatefold Records. Yeah. So it's kind of a take on Vinyl-y Please, if anybody does Vinyl-y Please. But one thing that I absolutely hate, and I have a bunch of records like this, where it's a 2 LP and they just put it in the one slot.
Oh, yes.
So the idea, the record company is called the record company is called Gatefold Records. And regardless if it's a one LP, two LP, three LP, it will be a Gatefold record.
So Jack White, I know you're listening because you're a big fan of Adam. This could be an offshoot mm-hmm. subsidiary of Third Absolutely. Man Records. So get in on the ground floor of this investment opportunity. Billy, your house is very well decorated. I just want to point that out. You're moving around. I'm seeing a lot, you know. It's very.
With some live flowers in here. Oh, go ahead.
Show him the elevator.
I'll take you down.
You do not have an elevator in your house, do you?
Yeah, man.
Oh, wow.
Like you never came over. I asked you 1,000 times. Well, come over. Have a drink with me.
I think there was just that one time.
Oh, Patrick, I'm sorry. I thought Mike was started.
Did you give me some extra Chick-fil-A sauce, Nicole?
My wife's name is Megan.
No, that was Nicole. Nicole was in the video at the Coops. That's why.
Oh, there's Chick-fil-A in my house too. I guess it's a Kentucky thing. That's what's for dinner.
I thought it was Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mike Coley and I met the Colonel. We got our picture taken with the Colonel.
Oh, Mike Coley and I got our picture taken with Santa Claus, I think.
Yeah. Two celebrities this weekend. Top that.
Man.
That's a birthday right there.
Hey, I did run into a celebrity at the airport on, when did I fly out? Tuesday. Scott Hamilton.
You mean the figure skater?
The skater?
The figure skater, yeah.
Wow.
TV makes him look much taller than he really is.
No, when he flies up in the air with a triple axel, that makes him look taller than he really is. He's just spiraling up to 10.5 feet tall.
Here, put this in your lips.
The only reason I knew he was there was the TSA agent said, oh, I just called him Bart Connor.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, did you get extra Chick-fil-A sauce for me, Nicole?
I don't like Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh, well, I used to ask for extras when I would go there, and so I would keep them in the fridge. But now at the grocery store, you can buy bottles of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Steven Routledge, if you're listening, I highly encourage you to buy some while you're visiting the U.S. here. So.
He'll be here soon.
Keith, life hack, you don't have to refrigerate it, man. You're going to keep that stuff in the garage. I have a pallet of it out there. Kids eat it every day.
I'm going to give you back to Adam. I got to eat.
Okay.
Oh, Nicole, what was your highlight of the weekend?
Yeah, let's go.
I really like Jack White. I thought he was great. I thought he played a really good set, really good festival set, mm-hmm. I thought.
Blink twice if Adam made you say that.
What else? Brandi Carlile was really good. Alanis was good. Kind of took me back to my 20s, my early 20s with Alanis. Pearl Jam. I mean, that whole vibe, where we were in the crowd, just the energy of everybody around. Those were my highlights.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to tell you, Patrick. We camped out for 3 hours for our spot for Pearl Jam.
No way.
Fortunately, we were able to see St. Vincent and Greta Van Fleet during that time.
And we really needed to pee after those 3 hours. We did. So that was like,
I just peed where I stood. I don't know if you guys felt that or not.
It doesn't surprise me.
And then we get to do it all over again tomorrow.
I'm thinking about getting in the car and coming down there. So
I wish I had a car.
Do you have room in that basement that I can move in? Because if I left another weekend, I would no longer have this home. But
you remember that movie Fight Club where they were putting bunk beds in the house?
Let me see. Nope.
So I can just start building bunk beds now.
Yes.
At least have the army do it. And then you guys can just bunk there. Yeah, that's exactly right.
All
right.
I know a guy who can get some air beds too. I know a guy who sells some air mattresses. We could get some of those. They just have a built-in pump and it's like a bed right there. Joe Fleischer's like, why did I agree to come on here for an hour and a half? Sorry, Joe.
I'm late for dinner. This sucks.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. This has been Suburbs Bourbon and Beyond.
month, and we're
as Jason Isbell said during his set, I believe we've moved beyond the bourbon.
There it is. So, yeah. All right. That's what we've done. Thank all you guys for being on and totally talking about your experiences. And I am Patrick Foster, and with me has been
Mike Keith Foley, Jacobson,
Adam Coop,
Billy McNeil.
And see, Joe Fleischer left. He
right. He's out. And Mike Coley, too, right?
Mike Coley.
All right. Thank you, guys. And we will talk to you guys, I guess, next month.
Oh, well, my father's leather on the inside of my skin. I'm itch riding with a woman, but I won't be trying to get.
Let me break a little tension by mentioning this sign that someone keeps holding up. It's very confusing to me. It says, I heart spicy pie. What the f*** does that mean? Should I know what that means? Would my daughters know what that means? I don't think I want my daughters to know what it means.